Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. or two. Hope everyone's having a great week so far. And hello, Pam, and hello, Naomi, and hello, Laurent.
Hi, Phil. Hey, Naomi. Good to hear you both.
Hello. Going good.
Hey, everyone.
Going good. Hi, Laurent.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Okay this evening. We'll see if I can last.
We'll give you energy, Laura. We'll send you energy. Or get you drunk.
Naomi will send you energy. I need all mine.
Well, somebody
boundless energy. I've seen, or yeah, cows can be lethargic. You're right.
Yes, absolutely.
Cows can burn.
So it looks like a great lineup of poetry tonight.
Yes, I agree. I agree. You want to tell us all about this show, girls?
Well, this is a mix and match show because not from last week's show, but the week before, we have carryovers from Naomi's contest that she ran with prompts that had to do with colors and senses. And so then I ran an 8-spot only contest with a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams." And so I titled the topic in Late Night Poets, Colors, Senses, and the Beauty of Dreams. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about Eleanor Roosevelt because I think a lot of people already know about her. But I do highly recommend that if you've never taken time to really read about her, you know, just Google or search facts about Eleanor Roosevelt, and you'll find that she was absolutely just an intriguing, strong personality woman, intelligent, really cared about social issues. You know, honestly, in my opinion, if you were to put like the top 10 most inspirational women, Eleanor Roosevelt would be in the top 10, if not the top 5. She just really cared that much. But
you're
and it wasn't
correct.
Really absolutely.
And not only that, she supported her husband who physically needed her support.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were a team. They worked together. Like you said, Lauren, I mean, they worked together. His 4 terms of presidency, she traveled around the country being his ears and his eyes and bringing information back to him. Yep, absolutely. Now, this isn't exactly an Eleanor Roosevelt show, but I still wanted to briefly mention her because, as I said, I think she's a very inspirational woman. And, you know, I do recommend that people, if they don't already know things about her, look her up and research her. But it was interesting because, you know, I was trying to find something that I felt connected with Naomi's contest, but wasn't just a repeat, like not just, oh, let's go with colors again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and for some reason, I don't know why, and but I felt like there was something about this quote that fit with the colors and senses poetry, you know.
Yeah, well, dreams are often filled with colors and senses. So,
that is very true. And in fact, I thought that intro song was absolutely a perfect find.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
That song, I Dream in Color, because it worked well for both topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah, I have to agree. I have to agree. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and move us forward and into the poetry. And, of course, like I always like to do on Tuesdays, I like to pick out a classic poem to start the show. And I have up Life is But a Dream by Lewis Carroll. And, Lauren, would you give that a read for us, please?
I'll be happy to. Lewis Carroll, Life is But a Dream. A boat beneath a sunny sky, lingering onward dreamily in an evening of July. Children three that nestle near, eager eye and willing ear, pleased a simple tale to hear. Long has paled that sunny sky, echoes fade and memories die. Autumn frosts have slain July. Still, she haunts me phantom-wise, Alice moving under skies, never seen by waking eyes. Children yet, the tale to hear, eager eye and willing ear, lovingly shall nestle near. In a wonderland they lie, dreaming as the days go by, dreaming as the summers die, ever drifting down the stream, lingering in the golden gleam. Life, what is it but a dream? End poem. Delightful piece.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wonderful read there, Lauren. I've always been a big fan of Lewis Carroll's work. After searching through numerous poems that had the topic of dream in them, I decided on this one. I like Lewis Carroll's work, and I like how this one is. It's playful, and obviously it has a dreamlike, surreal quality to it, but it's not as much as nonsense poetry as, say, the Jabberwocky, which is, I mean, an excellent poem. But you can definitely see the difference. And this one is actually, it says in the AN, it's an acrostic, which spells out Alice's full name. And to me, I really like how there's this kind of sense of the acknowledgement of that the summer of our youth passes us by, and we grieve that as autumn approaches. And I like that it ends in the question, you know, life, what is it but a dream? You know, and it really kind of makes us ponder, you know, the idea of what is life and what is dreams and where do the two cross lines. So just a wonderful classic poem, and very well done. I'm so used to saying very well done.
Then you have that famous poem, that famous song, right? Life is but a dream, sweetheart.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I forgot who did that.
What's that?
I forgot who did that.
That's good. Good question. I don't know either. Do you know, Gene? You're usually good at songs like who's saying life is but a dream.
No clue.
No clue.
No idea.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get a couple more comments. And Naomi, what did you think of this classic poem?
Yeah, well, I thought it was really, really beautiful. I was just Googling "Life is but a dream." It says the harp tones, the band, the harp tones.
The harp tones.
Yeah, about the coming back to this right. Like you said, there is something about it, you know, it does talk about dreams, but there is something that focuses on, like life itself and all the aspects of the, you know, that life can be, serious. Too, I think throughout the, you know, even though it talks of a dream, it makes you realize that the seriousness of life. I don't know why that came to mind, but it did. In a wonderland they lie. He talks about the children there, and you know, dreaming as days go by, dreaming as the summers die. So dreaming as the summers die, there's something about that, you know, the summer dying that hits home there. You know, ever drifting down the stream, lingering in the golden gleam, life, what is it but a dream? You know, but by saying it, it's as if he's not saying it. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. What I'm trying to get at here.
I do.
But,
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
It makes us think, you know. It makes us think outside of the poem itself, just the overall feeling of it, you know.
So, I agree. It is one of those poems where you kind of read between the lines and absorb the overall feeling. So great observation there, Naomi. And Laurent, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree with everything that was just said. And I love the marriage of children, dreams, and stories. Children yet the tale to hear, eager eye and willing ear, lovingly shall nestle near. I spent a couple of abortive years as a substitute school teacher, and when I had the kids and it was story time, they would gather in a semicircle, eyes bright, all attentive. They couldn't wait for a good story. And children and stories and dreams, I think, are inextricably linked. And I think this poem reflects exactly that. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. All right. And the next poem we have up is Kaleidoscope by Arthur Allison. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm getting there. Getting back to the page. A kaleidoscope. Our Creator pronounced, let life be picturesque. Tranquility, azure heavens, fertile forests, where shrubs, green giants have grounded any grudge. Splendid palette, races and nations, dark negroes, Caucasian tones, veins filled with universal scarlet, just as clouds of snow white govern our planet, solar rays often yellow, fortress of the now and coming future, ripe bananas, salad of vegetables, potpourri, so pleasant, life is vivid, bearing hope, heaven's benevolent kaleidoscope.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. I have to say, this is definitely a kaleidoscope of imagery. Perfect title for that. Laurent, your thoughts?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Splendid palette, races and nations, dark negroes, Caucasian tones, veins filled with universal scarlet, reminding us that regardless of the exterior, inside we all bleed the same color, and we are just part of that universal palette that the Creator brought into being. Let life be heaven's benevolent kaleidoscope. This is a poem of great hope, hope too soon dashed, I'm afraid, by the world we live in today, but vivid and very enjoyable nonetheless.
Absolutely. And you're right. I'm glad you brought that up, because there is, within the beautiful imagery, there is an important message, as you said, of the idea that no matter our skin color, we all bleed the same. So really great observation there. And Naomi, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I just love the short lines and how impactful it is. And I love the metaphors he uses, you know, throughout to put in the different colors, like the green giants, you know, and then he talks about the fortress of the now and coming future. And then he goes into ripe bananas, salad of vegetables, potpourri so pleasant. Life is vivid, bearing hope. Heaven's benevolent kaleidoscope. So yeah, wonderfully laid out each line, I find, you know, in this write. And like Laura said, you know, it just encompasses all, you know, that's the hope that of living together as one, you know, in the world. And you know, and a reality that, like Laura said, we're not there yet. We're far from that. And, you know, it's regrettable, you know, that we haven't learned after over 2,000 years, well, more, you know. But, you know, all the years, all the centuries,
And before, even before, you know, that we haven't learned to live together better than we do now. So just a wonderful poem that reminds that, you know, that hope. So just beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there, Naomi. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was a great piece. And what I said was, you know, it was great imagery, colorful in thoughts throughout. Because each line, his imagery was the use of color, and I thought it was great, you know, between the sky and the vegetables and the bananas and right down to the races and nations. I mean, he's got it all incorporated into this. And I think he did a great job. So well done, Arthur. Thanks for sharing. Absolutely.
Yeah, I really like, as you said, how he incorporated a lot into this, starting out with the pronouncements of the creation of life, to the idea of, you know, how this was all put together and planned differently than it has gone. And the idea that there is that hope. I really like how there is that wonderful sense of hope within these end lines. So just beautifully written and very well done. And let's see what we got next. All right. And here we go. Up next, we have Brown Eyes by Doc Frank. And Phil, will you give that a read for us, please?
I sure will. Okay, Brown Eyes by Doc Frank. Pink hair with a stare, quarter moon on forehead dare, head above fluffy pink clouds, sprinkles of tiny stars for crowds. Deep thinker, will tinker with your willpower. Easily see her being winker, orangish and the pinker. Take your heart and bury the sinker. And poem.
Great read there, Jean. And I have to say, you know, just Doc Frank, he does brevity so well. And, you know, to me, this kind of end rhyme with words like tinker and winker and pinker and sinker, it's the overall message of the poem to me is a little dark, but it's a playful dark. It's almost a humorous dark. Because of the use of the kind of, I don't know if the right word, like the nonsense, like they're not nonsense, but they're playful-like, if that makes sense. You know, and I really enjoy and appreciate that. So excellent brevity and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, I wrote, you know, I thought it was just a playful, like you said, a playful jollibee of words, you know, that was captivating and enchanting and just a delightful little rhyme here. You know, he just took that picture and he just went with it and, you know, so just a great job here, Doc Frank, in this little brevity here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well said there. And, Laurent, your thoughts?
Well, the author uses words playfully, which are a delight. But, as you said, within that playfulness is something just a little more serious. Take your heart, bury with sinker. The whole thing is structured in such a way that the image hits you and you read the words, and you're instantly there. As you said before, it's a great brevity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And well said there. And Phil, you read that nicely. Your thoughts?
Thanks. I think this was a really nicely done piece. I thought it was fun, kind of saucy a little bit. And I thought his use of color was great. But he really matched up to this image very well, you know, trying to incorporate all the colors that were in the image itself. And, yeah, I think he did a nice job with it. So great job, Frank. Thanks for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Great comments, everybody. All right. And up next, we have I Smile by Adrian 41062. And it goes like this. Aiming for the stars, my head only in the clouds, eyes a piercing volcano above the grayest shrouds. Hiding behind my pink curtain, shyness a gift during my mission. Until I have you clearly in sight, I release my stratospheric ambition. Artificial intelligence of many colors, a chameleon to my background. This just escapism, my reality, not liking being on the ground. A killing machine from the future comes to turn this world to black. You won't even see me coming. I'm a multicolored power pack. In the dark and hatred of this world, the human race turns ash and gray. With the hearing of a bipolar tiger, I won't listen to a word you say. No shouts or screams, only stealth. I pursue each one with guile. As you breathe your last breath, I'll watch your death and smile. And end poem. Wow, that was an amazing write. And I have to say, Laurent, if I remember right, you're quite a fan of sci-fi and poems that are stories, poems that end in a moral lesson. So I think this is one you will like, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it.
Yes. I have to break it down really into three parts. The first stanza seems certainly optimistic. The second stanza seems like a brutal awakening. And the third stanza seems like, what do I want to say? Just kind of an afterword, just before he watches us breathe our last breath, and I'll watch your death and smile. At first, I thought that this was a personification of death, and maybe it is. Where is it? The multicolored power pack. I'm not entirely sure how to take that. There are colors in the first stanza, the gray shrouds, the pink curtain, the stars, we all know their color, stratospheric ambition. It almost seems as if our head is in the clouds, we're not paying attention to what's happening, and maybe AI will become a monster that will kill us and hand us a whooping for all the horrible things we've done to this world. I don't know, but I sense those elements in it.
Absolutely. I like that you broke this down into all three parts, because you're right. There is kind of a build-up of, and each part has its own message, to where it leads to that end point of, you know, like you said, that middle stanza is really that brutal awakening. I liked that thought. So well said there. And Jean, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was a nice piece. I really did. I totally lost my whole thought process here. Sorry. I thought it was a nicely done piece, interesting and well thought out. And, I thought it was very clever and a nice piece of work, Adrian. So thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I'm totally lazy.
That's okay. Your thought process probably ran off with mine. You know, goodness only knows what they're doing together right now.
Right. Oh,
but great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm with Laurent with this. And well, I thought it was just a creative way to convey a dark message of the fate of humankind. And it kind of like transported us in it into a dystopian world of Terminators, you know, with the AI intelligence and everything. You know, just a captivating write all the way through, you know.
And I love the certain lines that stuck out to me, like a chameleon to my background, this just escapism of my escapism my reality, not liking being on the ground, a killing machine from the future, come to turn this world to black. The mission was to use color, and he did use color, and he used color in a way that to transport us into another kind of like a futurist world here. And great job, great ride, and great creative mind here by Adrian. So bravo.
Absolutely. And I have to agree that, you know, with the goal of the contest, right, or what you were looking for, to use color, he did do it in a way that brought us, as you said, into a story, into another world. I thought this had some great lines, and particularly, like, I released my stratospheric ambition and a chameleon to my background. And I feel like the main message in this is the idea of how greedy, and how humans become, and how they try to play God by, the way that the consequences of the greed and I like how in that end stanza he goes into how truly cold and unfeeling this AI is, this artificial intelligence,
mm-hmm.
So just a excellent science fiction type story and very well done. And let's see what we got next. All right. Doo-doo-doo. All right. Up next, we have My Black Onyx Grief by M.J. Donnelly. And Lawrence, will you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. My Black Onyx Grief by M.J. Donnelly. Black onyx is the shell of my heart, sooty sackcloth. It does yet abide, gilded with pitch it does not impart. Leaning to shadows, it speaks aside. Oh, death, you're a curious wretch with obsidian eyes. You haunt me. In tourmaline dreams, I charcoal sketch my love's anguished face o'er a stormy sea. A fucsane forest, once lush and green, is on my horizon, raven stark, as burnt match had seen as I've seen, very much far side of the moon dark. Tack paper, caped specters take to night, recalling her, with sorrow I write. End poem.
Great read there, Lawrence. It's always good to see a write by M.J. Donnelly. He's quite talented, and this is just a wonderful, dark, and emotive light. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. When you have black and you have, you have one. I've read a lot of poems with black, and you have, depression and all. And, kinds of stuff like that. But he went with a creative way, from the black onyx to the sooty sackcloth. He has, the obsidian eyes, the charcoal sketch. Fusean forest, once lush and green. You know, he just went about the whole thing, you know, he just attacked Black in such a witty, clever, and such an elegant and amazing right here. I just love the you know, the tear, paper, tape, specters take tonight. That's almost a tongue twister right there. You know, just such great alliteration. And, you know, just an amazing line. You know, an awesome, awesome write all through here by Donnelly.
Oh, I have to agree. I did also like that tongue twister line with the tar paper tape. And, you know, the thing is, and to me, and this is just my opinion, it's so important that if you're going to be writing a poem that's based on one color, that you have a variety of ways of expressing that color rather than just saying blue, blue, blue over and over again or black, black, black. And he has done a wonderful job of conveying the color black and the emotion surrounding it, but without throwing the word black in our face over and over again. And I really appreciate that. So I'm glad you brought that observation up there, Naomi. Thank you very much. Great comment. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yes, I can never stop coughing.
Uh-oh.
All stanzas appeal. Yet that first stanza has such impact, such grimness of purpose, coupled with clarity of image. It really swept me away. The language itself is formal, yet somehow with a modern tone, but he takes much from the masters of the past in lines like, "Oh death, you are a curious wretch, with obsidian eyes you haunt me." Just beautifully done.
Yeah,
absolutely. And yeah, he does have with this being, I believe this is what do you call it? Oh, I'm blanking out. Sonnet. Yeah, a sonnet, but it does have, like that one line you particularly mentioned, Laurent, "Oh death, you are a curious wretch." It does have a very classic feel to it with that. So, great comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I like this piece a lot. I loved in the, it must be the second one. He speaks of the obsidian eyes and how they haunt him. In tourmaline dreams, tourmaline is a bright, there's different shades of it, but the one that came to my mind was like almost an aquamarine, a little more blue. That had that pop come out at me as I read that. And then again down here, the Fusain forest, once lush and green, is on my horizon, raven stark. So again, you have that wonderful green sitting on that the darkness, you know, of the black. And I think that was pretty. It was just really well done because it kind of gave you that light and dark. It definitely changed the appearance in my mind, you know, the picture that was painted, let's put it that way. And I thought it was very well done, really nice piece.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, MJ Donnelly.
Absolutely. Well said there. And I really like how you brought up that there was this kind of balance of light and dark within the poem. That was a really great observation. Before we move on to the next poem, do we have anybody else on?
Probably. Let me see. Well, yes, we do. We have Passion's Promise. Hello, Promise, and welcome aboard.
Hi, y'all. How are you doing?
Glad you could join
us. Hi, Passions.
How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
Buff, buff, pass.
It was
awesome.
It was a great
glad
time.
You could join us.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a chance to, did you have something you'd like to say about MJ Donnelly's poem?
I didn't hear it, but I did get to read it. I love the sonnet. Y'all said it justice. It was beautifully written. I love how the loss of someone turns everything black. like an empty hole, you know, and he went for the metaphors, the imagery was painted, you know, you can feel the sorrow in this piece, and it was a lot of you read a lot of pain in it. I don't know. I mean, I've known MJ for several years, but I've been out of the loop for a couple. So with the obsidian eyes, you haunt me. I like that line. And my love language face over sea, stormy sea. Tar paper cape specters take tonight, recalling her with sorrow, I write. A beautiful write by MJ Donnelly.
Absolutely. Well said there. All right. And up next we have In True Colors by Abdul Malik. And Passions, I'm going to put you to work right away. So go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
In True Colors, Abdul Malik. Let colors the colors in their true shades and hues. Is white white or red, green, and blue too? Red is red, but green is not green. It's yellow and blue, as yellow is red and green. Black is black, not black and blue. You get the blues out of the blue once in a blue moon. Black is then black, it is clear as black and white. Vanta black of the black hole and white as the driven snow. As impure as a black heart, as immature as a white lie. Raise a white flag if you see red. Not your green thumb. Don't turn green with envy. Red is blood red. Get the green light before you go. Painting the town red. Show your true colors before you get the paint slipped. Chase the rainbow by all means, but don't be a yellow-bellied loser, nor a black sheep of the flock. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Passion, and a great write here. By Abdul Malik, and I really appreciate him writing for the show. And Naomi, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I just thought it was so clever, you know, how he took all the expressions that you can use with colors and, you know, just incorporated them all into this right here, and he just played with it, you know. And then he ends with chase the rainbows by all means, but don't be a yellow-bellied loser nor a black sheep of the flock. So he's still, you know, he sends out a message there, but he's still playing with phrases that are, you know, used with the use of color. And, you know, just from the way he starts out to, you know, that green is not green, it's yellow and blue, as yellow is red and green. And, you know, he's just playful all through and so creative and so clever, you know, just so witty, this right all through. I just enjoyed it so much.
Absolutely. And I like that you mentioned that within this right, he plays with words and phrases. Like there are some poems you can tell people has fun writing them, and this seems to be me one of them. So great comment there, Naomi. And Laurent, your thoughts?
I enjoyed this enormously. I see that despite the fact he's from India, he has a degree in master's degree in English literature, and I think that comes through. Because he has made this sparse and so-called simple, yet that is so damned difficult. It's easy to write something that is overly heavy and overly written. But to pare it down to the bare essentials, man. I mean, this is a poem that intelligently and creatively shows how we have assigned poems, colors, to a variety of moments. Signaling the appropriate emotion to accompany the circumstance. It's wonderful wordplay.
Absolutely. And I like how you mentioned the intelligence of this poem, because it really is. And as you said, it's clever wordplay, and he breaks it down into moments. So So great observations there, Lawrence. And Jean, your thoughts?
She's keeping them to herself.
She's keeping them. Yeah. Jean, your thoughts off mute. Maybe?
I told you I don't have any thoughts. I used the first words out of my mouth. Sorry, I'm fresh out of thoughts for today. Can't help it you didn't hear me. Anyway, you know, I thought this was a clever walk through the color profiles. I thought dipping his quill into the color and expressing each in a unique fashion. I thought it was well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. And passions, you read that nicely. Your thoughts?
Thank you. Well, I have to agree with everybody. I mean, it was very clever, right? It was really witty. Of course, I know y'all kind of heard me chuckle when I was like, red is blood red. Get the green light before you go. Fade down red. Shows your true colors before you get the pink slip. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. And I couldn't help but chuckle. Change the rainbow by all means, but don't be a yellow bully loser nor a black sheep of the flock. He ends it perfectly. It was a terrific, right?
Absolutely. Well said. I'm like that you mentioned those last couple of stanzas, because I, too, found those particularly humorous. And though the way he uses different phrases, and to me, like, I like that the whole message of this, right, particularly in those end stanzas, is the idea that, you know, eventually your true colors come out. Very clever, right, and very well done. I have to say I really appreciated this for its message. It's a serious message, but it's a serious message delivered with a sense of playfulness and just very well done. And up next we have Inky Cloak by Scraps and Scribbles. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes. Inky Cloak. Your noisy cross, your jet black princess all engaging in your lordly arguments. You strut on chimneys, swagger on the wall. You thieves, you beggars, shouting braggart calls. You think you're subtle, but we know you're intense. You noisy craws, you jet black princess all. Your eyes are witchcraft little beady balls. They're full of mischief, knowing measurements. You strut on chimney, swagger on the wall. You oily little salesman, shortly tall. You steal the things your mind can't invent. You noisy craws, you jets us all. Your vein, your puddle mirror still enthralls. You peeking from a cozy chimney vent. You strut on chimney, swagger on the wall. Each one a little Hamlet, inky scrawl. A stolen crust is all that you lament. You noisy craws, you jet black princess all, you strut on chimney, swagger on the wall. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi, and a great write by Scraps and Scribbles. Now, I'm nearly 100% sure that this is a specific form. I'm just blanking out on what the form is called. Let's go ahead and start, Passions, with your thoughts on this poem.
This was very, you know, I know the form too, and it's not coming to me, and that's bugging me. That's going to bug me for the rest of the show. You thieves, you beggars, shouting braggarts calls, you think you're subtle, we know you're you noisy craws, you jet black princess call. We want to wing it, and, you know, they're talking about crows or the stolen crust is all that you want. I mean, it was beautiful written all through this. The imagery was terrific. And it was a great piece. I liked it a lot.
Absolutely. I have to agree. I'm almost thinking it's a villanelle, but I'm not completely sure. But, yeah, it is.
No,
it is
called
exactly.
Trisette.
It's called a what?
Trisette. T-E-R-C-E-T.
A Trisette. Okay. Okay. Cool. Thank you, Lauren. And actually, Lauren, let's go ahead and hear your thoughts on the poem.
Yeah, I love
Are
it.
You scared?
I love this one. It's engaging from the first line. You noisy craws, you jet-black princes all, engaging in your lordly arguments. You strut on chimney, swagger on the wall. All the way through, Scraps and Scribbles manages to capture the behavior that we all assign reasons to. You oily little salesman, shorty tall, you steal the things your mind can land. That's wonderful. It really is. It's seductive, and it's metaphor, and it's imagery, and it's particularly effective in the terset form.
I have to agree with you that that particular form, the terset, really added to the repetitive lines really added to the effectiveness of the poem. So, great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I love that. The line that the line that stuck out to me was the one that Laurent just cited there. You oily little salesman, shortly tall. You steal the things your minds cannot invent. And then, the last one, to each one a little Hamlet. Inky scrawl, a stolen crust is all that you lament. Now, just a wonderful, wonderful write all through. And I love the title, Inky Cloak. It just goes along so well with the whole write. Just an amazing, amazing write out here by Scraps and Scribbles.
Absolutely. And I like how this is a write about social issues. It has a very classic feel to it, but it also feels like it could relate to modern times. And, I like that it addresses people who simply are just braggarts,
mm-hmm.
who just swagger around on that wall, strut around, flapping their gums. There's it's a very clever write, and I appreciate that. And Jean, your thoughts?
My gosh, now I'm sure to have thoughts again.
I know.
I thought this was really well done, and I thought it was great in the picture out. I love the use of the dark jet black and the I'm looking for the other words because, God knows I can't carry them forward in my head. Just the jet black princess. I just loved all the descriptors coming through. But the imagery was great in this piece, and the tale was really well told. It was clever and really well done. I mean, I'm not sure if he was aiming at a raven or a crow. This is poetry, so everybody leans towards the raven up front. The crow comes in second, but he's the one. And I do believe this is a villanelle. I think so. But
no,
it was well done.
Yeah. I think a villanelle has the last stanza is only three lines, because I did look that up. I don't know.
Okay.
They have
to
be very similar, though, because, to me, a terset and a villanelle, they look very similar.
Well, in the villanelle, you have a line repetition from stanza to stanza, right?
Okay. I didn't mean to have a debate. Laurent, I sent you a message over on Facebook. You don't mind.
We can debate after hours.
Exactly.
Ooh, after hours debating. Sounds fun.
I'm in.
For the drinks.
That's right.
Well, I'm just like the girl.
All right. Well, great comments, everybody. And up next, we have Earth's Patchwork by Patterson Mooney. And, Jean, would you give that a read for us, please?
I sure will. Okay, I have to go back over here.
I think, you know what? Jean may be right here.
Don't say anything but after hours, remember?
Damn.
All good. Okay. This is called Earth's Patchwork.
She is right.
Earth's Patchwork, vividly hued, from waving wheat fields with its golden yields, to cities neon light imbued, crawling urban traffic, loud, crude. Sandy breaches, oceans of blue, salted air and hail, bright sunshine avail, to ski lifts with mountain view, winter vacation rendezvous. Lakeside paths carpeted in moss, cushioned sneaker treats, come though in fawn sweeps. Oh, wooden bridge they step across, to not see would have been my loss. Giant redwood or pine forest, natural glory, creation story, pledged by hand of master florist, his birds sing perfectly, chorus, and poem.
Wonderful read there, Jean. I really like this one. Patterson Mooney is just a fine rhyming poet. Great lines here. I like the use of imagery, and I like how this becomes an extended metaphor of the idea of God's handiwork as the earth being, you know, a quilt put together. You know, I always like the metaphor of quilting because, you know, to me it's something that you take little bits of everything that are beautiful individually, little bits of fabric that are beautiful individually, but they make something so much more grander when you put them together. So I'm just really a big fan of this poem here. And Laurent, your thoughts?
As you mentioned, if you examine the patchwork of fields from an airplane, some of them can look remarkably like a quilt, depending on what the field is planted with. And he did a great job of taking vivid imagery, the waving wheat fields, sandy beaches, blue oceans, lakeside paths, and assign them in our minds, and we can see them in the quilt if we look hard enough. Really an expert work.
Absolutely. You're right. It is a very expert feel to this work. And yeah, it is interesting and just really cool how as you rise up in the airplane, you know, you can see more and more how there are those fields and put together that do look like a patchwork quilt. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, this is just another one of those rites, you know, like we've had tonight. You know, that contest that I ran, it really, you know, brought out, you know, the most colorful and the most amazing poems. It was the hardest contest I ever had to judge. And, you know, this was within one of my favorites, you know, as many of them that we read already tonight were too, and, you know, the ones we read before. And, you know, this just, that was one of the prompts I had up, that quilt. And, you know, he just took that quilt and just, you know, made this craft, this beauty out of it, you know. Like Laurent said, he incorporated everything, you know, from the wheat fields, even to the traffic, the city's traffic, you know, and, you know, the mountains, the ski lifts, you know, the seasons too, the winter, and you know, he just ran with it, you know, just composed such a beautiful, beautiful write here.
just a masterful stroke of genius here, colorful and brilliant writing.
Absolutely. And I do have to agree with you. I mean, you've gotten out of this contest some top-notch poetry. Yeah, it was just a great idea for prompts and to ask people to write, you know, using colors and senses. So great comment there. And passions, your thoughts?
Yeah, I never thought about looking out of a plane until Lauren mentioned it. Now I'm thinking about looking over a plane. And this piece, you know, my mom was always into quilts. I never was, but this Patterson Mooney has me interested now. You're right. He entwines a lot of great detail here that is magnificently, the imagery is just out there, wonderful. I mean, beautiful. The sandy beaches, the crawling urban traffic. I mean, you can see the hustle and bustle around, and it's just an all-over wonderful written piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great observations there. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to me when poetry makes you think about some, you know, either the poetry itself or a fellow commenter's, you know, comment just really makes you think about things that you haven't thought about before. The women in my family have always been really creative. With me, it came out in writing, but many of the women in my family did quilting, knitting, crocheting, you know, painting, that kind of stuff. So I can totally relate to that passions and the idea that of not getting into quilting yourself, but knowing people who did it and wondering about, you know, then this poem really does make you think about, you know, what it would be like to create a quilt. So great observations there. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I really liked the piece. I thought it was nicely penned. And I enjoyed the use of the quilt to reflect the elements of nature. I thought it was beautifully done. Nice job.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Patterson.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Great comment there. And a wonderful poem by Patterson Mooney. I'm glad they shared it with us. And up next, we have 10 Lines for Tan Color by Brunda Band Panda. And it goes like this. Tan term derived from tanum, oak bark, tanning the leather, tan colors, actual work. Tan is pale tone of brown color, nature's gift. Therefore, tan color draws people's eyes sight. Truly chestnut oak tree is tall with typical fruit. The skin of bark of chestnut oak is useful too. Tawning purpose tan color was formerly used, tawny, tenay, fulvous as tan cinnamon. Include touching natural color tan lord's contribution, 10 lines for tan color within poem composition, end poem. Now that one was quite clever. And yeah, you know, tongue twister. Yes, very clever tongue twister. And of course, you know, a synonym, of course, is one of those words that I just naturally stumble over, so, you know, sorry about that. But I like the way he made me realize how exciting of a color or important of a color throughout nature can be. So very cool there. Mm-hmm. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. If you ask somebody what their favorite color is, it's rare that they'll go and say brown or tan or beige, you know. But if you paint your house, or and you use those earth lately. There's those earthy colors all the time, you know, and they're all around you in nature, and they're so, like you said, they are so important. And to take a tan, the color tan, and to go with it and compose a poem, like, I mean, that's just amazing. And, you know, he did it so amazing, so wonderfully here. You know, it's just I said, it's like a kind of a tongue twister, a lot of alliteration used through, you know, all through the poem, which adds to it, you know, to the richness of the poem. But it's just deep and rich, and you know, like tan and brown is throughout nature, it's strong. You know, it's the bark of the trees. It's the, you know, it's the skin. You know, the, you know, so just a rich write, you know, amazing write here by this poet.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Great comment there, Naomi. And Passions, your thoughts?
I like the twist in there. The alliteration is what made this poem for me. I mean, I like the use of it in the color tan. You're right. I mean, how many people, you know, you walk up to you and say, hey, what's your favorite color, Sam? No. What color is your house? Oh, beige, you know, tan. Okay, well. But, you know, he puts a lot of good ideas out there that stuck in my head, and it's really, he did a really great job with the color tan.
Absolutely. Great comment there. And, yeah, the chosen color, I mean, he really did, like I said, make me realize, you know, how important the color tan can be. And in the lines that were quite twisty on the tongue and fun to dance around. And, Laurent, your thoughts?
Are you on mute, Laurent? Yeah, I was on mute. I'm sorry. By the way, you've demonstrated how flexible your tongue actually is there, Pam. Congratulations. sources and uses for tan. Is tan a boring color? It's the color of the earth in many ways, the trees. It's not a loud color. It's an old color. It's an ancient color. The blues, the reds, the brilliant golds. Those are colors for other things, other reasons, other purposes. It really was a great look at the color, and it's in a general, larger context.
Absolutely. Well said there. Great comments, everybody. And up next, we have Yellow Sun by Michael. And, Laurent, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, I will. Yellow Sun by Mike Rowan. Alabama back roads twisting on a two-lane highway, blacktop rolling under feet. We turn onto an old dirt road leading us through the autumn leaves, orange and red and yellow pages, the forest opening like a novel, where the October sunset scrolled out over the landscape, a golden script upon the field. Strolling beneath a cirrus sky, tall grass tickling fingertips, sunlight painting beach above, diamond prisms sparkling your brown eyes, shining misty. The yellow sun, glowing warm and gold, faces coming closer, touch, lungs inhaling the same oxygen, cells orbiting our solar systems, pulses racing with life's adrenaline, wind voices whispering to us, worlds speaking in native tongue, absorbing movement of the earth as we swim in the moment given. western horizon flaming red just before nightfall set. Warm breeze softly kissing skin. You and I in the Indian summer. End poem. Mm.
Wonderful read there, Lawrence. And I think this is just absolutely a stunning write, just beautiful with its imagery. And if I remember right, Passions, I think you one time wrote a poem for one of our shows about driving down a country road. So I have
sure.
a feeling this is, yes, so I think this might be a poem that you enjoy. So I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I actually did. I really enjoyed it as soon as I heard Alabama Back Road to a John G. Lane Highway. Lauren gave that piece of power, boy. I was like, here we go, Lauren, rolling down the back street, going through these autumn leaves, orange and red and yellow pages. I mean, this is fantastic imagery. The pictures that come to mind when I read this and heard Lauren reading it, beautiful, strolling beneath the thick cypress sky, tall grass tickling fingertips, wind voices whispering to us, world speaking a native tongue. Perfect Indian summer. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful read, beautiful write. I love it.
Absolutely. Great comment there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, another one of my favorites. You know, it's so beautiful, so beautiful. You know, you're like, how can you not just be amazed by this, right? And Laura read it so well. I mean, it just came out just so beautifully in his voice, Passion said, you know, you just put all the meaning and the power behind the right, you know, and all the emotion. You know, the wind voices whispering to us, world speaking a native tongue, absorbing movement of the earth as we swim in the moment given. You know, what a great message he put into this poem amidst all the beautiful imagery. And it's as if we were floating down these country roads right beside the writer here. Just superb all the way through.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment there. And you're right, there is a wonderful message to this amongst all the beautiful imagery. So great comment. And Laurent, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the stanza orange and red and yellow pages, the forest opening like a novel, really, really spoke to me. Words possibly failing at the beauty of this piece, but thankfully, Pam, you used the words glorious and stunning, so I'm going to steal those.
Uh-oh, why did everybody go silent?
I don't know. I didn't hear you.
You're trying to speak?
Oh, okay. Well, that must have been me going silent. Okay. Sorry about that. Well, thankfully, I haven't had the word glorious or stunning actually, you know, what is that called? I don't have ownership of them, so they're free for everybody to use.
Are you sure?
But yeah,
stealing.
Right. But yeah, I like that you brought up that. That. Oh, what was that? I'm sorry.
Nothing. I was messing around. It's okay.
Oh no, I just kind of sorry, didn't quite hear it. But yeah, I like that second stanza too, with the mention of the forest opening like a novel, the idea of nature telling their own story. Yeah, this is wonderful imagery all the way through. I like how there's that sense of romance within within the line, you know, and especially strong beneath a fair sky, you know, diamond prism sparkling your brown eyes, shining misty. You get that whole idea almost of the idea of a marriage proposal. And I like how there's this appreciation for nature, and for just spending time within nature. It's beautifully written and very well done. And all right, let's see what we got next. All right, oops, that's the same poem. As good as it was, don't want to read it twice. So let me grab the next one. All right. And up next we have The Sensuous Santorini by Slipka Keita and Passions. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, I will. Okay. The Sensuous Santorini by Slipka Keita. Encircling a sea-filled caldera, spectacular Santorini scores top points for its dramatic beauty. Bleached white villas tumble down volcanic cliffs. Blue domed churches rise against the sparkling sea, and bright sprays of bougainvillea add to the eye-popping color palette. Starting with one of the most iconic of settings, head over to Oahu for a lazy afternoon stroll around this cliff-top town. Head over to Santa Winery, where one can try a range of delicious Greek wines, olives, and bites to nibble on, a great way to spend a lazy afternoon. As with all professional wine connoisseurs, make sure to spit the wine out after. Over the last 5 decades, archaeologists have found a place like the archaeological site that shows us a glimpse into the past. Head here to learn more about the island's dramatic past, while also discovering some of the ancient settlements undoubtedly. Grab the walking shoes, hop on board a local boat, and jump over to Nea Kamini Island, the beating heart of the volcano just off Santorini. As no trip to the Greek islands is complete without a little jaunt of the boat, one of the best things to do in Santorini for a tour of the Blue Lagoon. Many of the routes will head around the dramatic parts of the bay. Let's visit the volcanic island and even have a little time for diving into the deep blue oceans to cater to the five senses. End poem.
Wonderful read there. I really like how Slipka took us on a journey to the Greek islands. You know, I felt like I was right there along with her. Just wonderful use of imagery. And Naomi, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, well, a lot of people chose that prompt, that picture of blue there. But, yeah, she just chose it and took us to the Greek, took us on a vacation. And, you know, I just want to hop on a plane and go right there. You know, her descriptions are so rich and deep and just beautiful. And, you know, like you said, it was as if we were right there visiting all these amazing, amazing places along with her. She just wrote this so vividly and so you know, chose the wording so well. Just a sensational poem all through, you know, just an amazing right here.
Absolutely. And I like how you mentioned that she takes us on a vacation. And I like when poetry does that. So great comment there. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the way this was told pretty much in the voice of a narrator who did not try to make, and the poet did not try to make what was written about poetic, but rather began listing settings you know, when we go to travel to a new land and everything around us is unfamiliar, it's often beautiful, especially when you're going somewhere on vacation. And the unfamiliar and the beautiful really tend to fixate our attention. So she gives us the visual in the first stanza, the bleached white villas, the blue-domed churches. She gives us the winery and the delicious Greek wines and olives to bite and nibble on and the appeal to our sense of taste. And then she goes to an archaeological site, and here we reconnect with history. And then a volcano, just a marvelous travelogue through things that arouse all the senses that we have. Really nicely done.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well said there. And passions, your thoughts?
Well, I have to agree. She took us on a nice little trip. You know, Lawrence said it best when you mentioned the lines. You know, well, like where she said, grab the walking shoes, hop on board a local boat and jump over the Nia Kamini. And I know probably half the words like didn't get right by her, and I apologize for that. It was a beautiful, beautiful trip. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely, and I think you did a fine job. There were plenty of $20 words in there, that's for sure. Just wonderful use of imagery and phrasing, and you know, just a beautiful, you know, feel of being transported there. So, great write and very well done. All right, now that is the end of the Colors and Senses contest. Thank you to everyone who wrote for that. Appreciate you all. And now we're going to move into writes that were done for the Eleanor Roosevelt, The Future Belongs to Those Who Believe in the Beauty of Their Dreams. And Laurent, I put your poem up. Go ahead, give it a read for us, please.
All right. This is called Dreaming of Small Moments. In innocence lies the true joy of discovery, the angel of our architecture wedded to revelation. Small fingers pull at daisy petals, loves me not, sitting in a summer field, enveloped in a haze of pollen and the buzz of insects beyond counting. Fields of roses stretching in rows comes later, manipulating life in the breach like gods who lay their hands on the ordinary to harvest a fragrant cornucopia. Dreaming of the small moments reveals the larger ones, incarnate truths which guide our footsteps, halting at first, strong stride to come. Come, take a bite of life, its juices flowing in your veins. Turnips, beets, ginger, try a herring, perhaps a mango, for alternate tastes of being. Abandon the conventional, seek the unintentional. Happy accidents in all guises, total the length of happy surprises, reap the rewards of sun-filled estival. Perhaps unready for the bathysphere, taking us into the darker depths, but leavened by music, art, literature, laid out before us, feasts for the young child, who laughs with each new milepost achieved. End poem.
Oh, wow.
Wonderful read and write there, Laurent. I have to say, this is one of those poems that when I listened to it, it made me smile. You know, it just, there's so much joy within just discovering the little things in life, the wild roses, the way a child looks at and appreciates everything. I think my absolute favorite, though, was come take a bite of life, its juices flowing your veins, you know. And of course, you threw in a little bit of your dinner there. Very cool. Dinner and poetry. But but you mentioned herring, and the funny thing is I was at the store today debating whether or not I wanted to spend the $6 on a small container of pickled herring. And I decided not to, but now after reading your poem, I'm kind of regretting it because I just absolutely love pickled herring. And now I'm hungry for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So next store trip, I'm going to splurge and get it. I really like manipulated life in the breach, like gods who lay their hands on the ordinary to harvest a fragrant cornucopia. You know, isn't it just, it's such an amazing thing when our eyes open like the eyes of a child and we see with the heart of a child, you know, how beautiful the ordinary can become. So just absolutely a stunning light, Laurent, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
And passions, your thoughts?
You know, just had me smiling from the beginning. You know, just reminded me of my children and the little things they would get into. You know, I remember them picking daisies, and it was beautiful trip down memory. I thank you for that. Of course, I love roses for the little part with the roses, and the dreaming of the small moments reveal the larger ones to come. And then the abandon the conventional, seek the unintentional, happy accident, all in guise of total life and happy surprises. You know, children, they see things that we don't see, and this is just a wonderful piece written by you that brings just a smile and a testament to the child. You did a great, exceptional job on this, a wonderful read.
Thank you, Passion.
Great comment there. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, Ron, I thought this was really well done. I thought the title was a wonderful reflection of the work. It was a perfect choice. You know, and I put some standards into my comment because, you know, I wanted to at least point out one of them. But they were all so good, and I put these two down, and I'm going, mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe I should put them all down. I don't know. I thought they were just, each one was just wonderful on its own. And I think it was a wonderful blend, you know, of each stanza creating this wonderful poem. So nice work for sure.
Thank you, Jean.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, well, Laurent, I just adored this poem. I mean, every stanza is like a mini brevity that stands on its own, you know, with so much depth in it and so much, you know, it's so well written. You know, you just sing to our inner child throughout the whole piece, and you know, the talking about children, but also to us, you know, our the inner child that lives in us, and in the importance to bathe in life and all the marvelous things that are out there. And you mentioned music, art, literature. You know, it's such a great part of you know, exploring life and exploring all the beauty that it is. And this poem is a thing of beauty right here. Just an amazing, a stunning, stunning piece of art here, Laurent. I just totally love this piece.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful comments, everybody. And up next, Passions, I put your poem, Cream-Filled Dreams. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay. Cream-filled dreams. There's a John F. Kennedy hybrid tea rose in front of my apartment that tickled my nose. Butterflies dancing like they're drunk on wine, and I'm sipping on Bailey's Colada Divine. The clouds undress the evening sun. Lilies to left had sprouted some. I could smell the Czech bakery down the street and see the mussels working in the street. In the apartment, there was nothing but breeze, windows open. I can hear the rustling of breeze of leaves. Preparing a dish of spaghetti and bread, I'd like dinner before going to bed. Johnny came over for a mid-eve snack, which included cake and a massage to the back. His lips had tasted of Michelob beer, a tad bit salty, then a slap to the rear. Off we go to unravel the cream off the sheet, as soft as a satin against our heartbeats. The moon had undressed us from our attire as the stars through the window lit us on fire. We maneuvered like butterfly wings, soft and gentle until our little things, guiding each other to an erotic bliss through an adventurous, erratic kiss. Silhouettes danced as the moon blushed, as stars against fever's loss we hushed. Naked as night we fell fast asleep until morning sun rose and a long hit repeat. And boom.
Wonderful reading right there, Passions. And I should acknowledge that this one actually was written for one of the prompts from Naomi's contest. You chose the color and the picture of
you
cream.
You didn't get it in.
How come you didn't get it in? Well, it was only written like 5 hours ago.
Oh, okay.
She was 4 hours ago.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But I like how this actually fit with both topics. You know, it was about the color cream and, you know, how it was incorporated into everyday life. But it was also about those everyday dreams, you know, falling asleep together, enjoying life. And there was so much to me that this had wonderful imagery and use of the senses. And I like how it really brought us into those everyday moments, those observations of the life going on around you, the Czech bakery, you know, and then you bring us into those moments of sensuality and romance that happen before the alarm goes off and the day has to start over again. Just absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you.
And, yeah, absolutely. And, Lauren, let's start with your thoughts.
I really like this piece. I was tickled right off the bat by that first stanza. The John F. Kennedy hybrid tea rose in front of my apartment that tickled my nose. Butterflies dancing like they're drunk on wine, and I'm sipping on Bailey's Colada Divine. The combination of the rose tickling the nose and that beautiful metaphor for butterflies dancing like they're drunk on wine, that's exactly right. I love Bailey's Colada, so. But phrases like the clouds undress the evening sun, that was beautifully done. And what you did all the way through this, highly visual, audible, an appeal to the senses that I thought was very well rhymed, very well written.
Thank you.
Absolutely. That's a great comment there, Lauren. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is amazing right here, Passions. You know, that first stanza really got me, but also, you know, all the way through, you know, it's just the way, like Lara said, the way you appeal to all our senses, whether it was, you know, the butterflies, you know, when you think of butterflies, you think of a certain emotion explodes inside. And then you have the clouds and the evening sun there. And, you know, and you have the bakery. So you imagine the scents, you know, coming out and all the way down. I mean, you know, into the passion there. I really liked we go to unravel the cream off the streets, the softest of satin against our heartbeats. The moon had undressed us from our attire as the stars to the wind lit us on fire. And then all the rest, but I mean, this is just amazing. You know, one of the best poems that I've read really from you.
and a really stunning work here all the way through Passions.
Thank you very much.
Great comments, everybody. All right. Up next we have Devil Get the Gun by Diane D., and we have a SoundCloud for that. So, Phil, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Here we go.
Devil Get the Gun by Diane D. I was once a suffering man in the eye of a brutal storm. All around me, hurricanes. My will to live was warm. The day the devil caught me was the day I couldn't run. So I looked up at that devil. I said, devil, get the gun. I'm not afraid to die, devil. I dream it every morning. You know as well as I do, it comes without a warning. But I have come to realize the future's in my dreams. I dream one day of freedom. I'll tell you what that means. I knew one day the future would grant my wish for sure. That one day down the road, she would feel pain no more. And as long as I am living, I will think about that night. That night I pulled the trigger that stopped her painful fight. I looked into her dying eyes. Your dream has come to be. Death was in your future. Now death has set you free. So devil, it doesn't matter if you're knocking on my door. I have the gun cocked and ready. She is on that other shore. End poem.
Wonderful reading right there, Diane. Oh, my goodness. Really like the background sound and the read. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. I really like that she took a darker twist and a dark emotive twist with that particular quote. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first of all, she put a lot of power into that. A lot of power and emotion into that write, that into that read, that really, you know, brought out all the you know, what's inside the deepness of this write. I'm sorry, I'm coughing a lot tonight. Yeah, and just, you know, she addressed a subject that, you know, that is kind of hard hitting, you know, that, you know, somebody's suffering, whether they're allowed to die or not, to stop suffering, you know, she brings that up, but in a way that, you know, that's kind of like a song here, like a devil get the gun, you know, just that phrase, devil get the gun. It's, it brings me back to, I can't think of the band there, the band that has this a song that's kind of like this, but it brings me back to a certain song. I can't remember the title, but just a deep, powerful write all through that addresses, I think, like a deeper issue here, and well done.
Absolutely. This poem had a wonderful lyrical quality to it, and I like that it tackled the difficult subject of, you know, assisted suicide when somebody is suffering. And I like that, you know, the whole idea that this is the story of a person confronting, you know, almost like to me their own personal demons and you know, saying I'm not going to feel guilty because they are no longer suffering. The person I loved is no longer suffering. So yeah, a powerful and emotive write. And Laurent, your thoughts?
It takes balls, guts, to write a poem intelligently and emotionally enough to admit to killing one's mate, which is basically what happened here, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was in such pain. I looked into her dying eyes. Your dream has come to be. Death was in your future. Now death has set you free. I mean, even if I was writing a poem myself about how I had to put someone out of their misery, I would hesitate to do so. Because somehow it seems like innately wrong and yet in certain instances so absolutely necessary. And what he does is give us a great story poem. The first stanza was so powerful. I was once a suffering man in the eye of a brutal storm. All around me, hurricanes. My will to live was worn. And then the day the devil caught me, I instantly thought of the devil, the fiddle-playing devil down in Georgia. But, of course, that's nothing like this, but it's what I thought of. Because I love poems like this about the devil. And this is very much done in projective verse, where each line is about a breath. And it does it very, very ably and very well rhymed. Just A plus on this one.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely well said there. And passions, your thoughts.
Can I say I agree with everything that Laurent just said? I agree.
Absolutely.
I'm still rocking with this in my head because I'm like, I'm not a singer, but I was like, man, this would make a kick-ass song.
Yeah, it would.
I mean, it is totally off the chain. I love this poem. I mean, I know I shouldn't, but I do. And, you know, I'm not afraid to die, devil. I dream it every morning. You know as well as I do, it comes without a warning. I mean, there's no fear. I mean, they did what they had to do to get to the point where the mate was free from the pain, and they didn't care what it took to take to do it. You know, they did it. And this is a powerful, powerful read that I love this poem. I love it. Well done. Well read.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. And up next we have My Dreams by Gerald E. Green. And we do have a recording for that. So, Gene, whenever you're ready.
My Dreams, written and read by Gerald Green. Epigram. The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. By Eleanor Roosevelt. Poem. The world assumes my dreams are beautiful, as if I fit the mold of Mr. Normal. Oh, that I could be the guy you see, the one on TV shows with wife and kids. Dreams are budding hopes, not yet watered by reality. Hopes that dangle in bright sunlight, waiting for betrothal's voice and lover's imitation, not yet come. Deep pockets dress their dreams for all to see, adorned with jewels, polished gold surrounding, prized by those with tunics and fast cars, pretending life is good and all is well. But those like me with tarnished dreams that smell of rot do not see beauty in the air of spring, cannot believe in falsity or old deceptions binding those before. We hesitate in youthful years, afraid of outcomes predetermined by the strong, who hold the keys of victory and smell success in flowered paths of benefits. End poem.
Wonderful reading right there, Gerald. Thank you for the recording. Very much appreciated. Just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, making a recording of your poem is the next best thing because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And another one that went dark with the topic of dreams, and I like that. I like that this poem does remind us that dreams and dreaming itself has a darker side, a lonelier side. I like that he stepped out of the box. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, how many times must we see our dreams tarnished, dashed, unredeemable for one reason or another? And then when it happens over and over, he really takes the voice of someone who has almost given up, it seems. Those like me with tarnished dreams that smell of rot do not see beauty in the air of spring, cannot believe in falsity or old deceptions binding those before. He speaks of hesitation in his years, afraid of predetermined outcomes. I don't know whether that's a sign of weakness or a sign of wisdom not to go where you failed before. I suppose you can take both sides of the argument, the more noble one being never give up, always strive. But, you know, when you're beaten down and a prisoner of that mood, you're beaten down. And sometimes there's not much you can do but go through life faking it, letting the world assume that his dreams are beautiful. First-rate piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great observations there, Lawrence. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, he just captivated me from that first stanza there. The world assumes my dreams are beautiful, as if I fit the mold of Mr. Normal. Oh, that I could be the guy you see, the one on TV shows with wife and kids. And, you know, and then down to the, when he talks about the dreams, the people with the adorned with jewels and polished gold surroundings and the tunics and the fast cars, pretending life is good and all is well. You know, he just this is just such a powerful, powerful, dark piece. You know, he shows us, he juxtaposes, you know, the beautiful against the ugly, which makes it such a strong, strong, powerful write here. Just an amazing, amazing write here by Gerald E. Green.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It is a powerful write on the whole idea of poems, or not poems, but dreams being dashed and how we react to that. And passions, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a pretty sad piece, you know, how he fluctuates between the good and the bad here, the having it all to having nothing, and it's a deep piece that tugs at the heartstrings. I mean, it tugs at mine, and you hesitate in youthful years, afraid of outcomes predetermined by the strong, who holds the keys of victory and smells the sex flowers. I mean, all throughout was an exceptional piece. He did a great job on this.
Absolutely. Great comment. All right, and up next we have Don't Mind Me by Incubus 2, and it goes like this. The baby rocked in protective paternal arms, plotting out the future, using all of their inherent memories from father. He knows all that goes up comes down, except he knows from his mother household bills just go up. So in the warmth of hearth, heart, and home, he plots to break the predetermined path, aspiring to become more than the sum of all his mother's dreams and to his father's overcompetitive nature, to become a leader of men, a teacher of children, protector of wholesome values, a man whom, while being laughed at to his face, will behind their backs in secret change the world. End poem. And I have to say, I was really impressed with this write. I actually gave it the gold in the contest. And as he says in his AN, a tribute to Marcel Marceau, while remembered as a mime and bringing laughter, he was in fact a highly decorated resistance fighter, tinker and forger, whom through his skill saved the lives of many children, smuggling them out of France during World War II. And I said I thought this was a wonderful tribute right to a man who had a heart of heroism and a desire to make people laugh. I enjoyed reading this. I like how it reminds us that people are more than what we see on the surface and that observing parents can influence the future of a child. You know, I thought this was a very, it was educational, but it was educational written in a beautifully poetic way. I liked learning from this poem, and I liked how he took this particular prompt in this direction. So very well done. And Laurent, your thoughts?
It's difficult to underestimate the importance that Marcel Marceau has had on French culture and society. My mother knew of him. She was a contemporary of his. Took me to see him when I was young. What I got from that more than anything was his ability to express emotion through motion, through his features, through the silence that was so impactful. And I find exactly that in this particular poem. So in the warmth of heart and home, he plots to break the predetermined path, aspiring to become more than the sum of all his mother's dreams and his father's over-competitive nature. And he became a leader of men and a teacher of children and a protector of wholesome values with just his face, with his mannerisms. Anyone who hasn't seen him, you should go back and try and find some of his well-filmed performances. Many of them are grainy, black and white, but truly a remarkable man and a remarkable poem.
Absolutely. Great comment there, Laurent. Very cool. And Passions, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful poem. And now I'm going to take Laurent up on that because I do not know who this man is.
Oh.
I'm thinking you can probably find some of his videos on YouTube.
I have never heard of this man, but he brought him to life to me through his piece, and that's something that I will tomorrow be looking at, because I really would like to know the man that was.
You have to find something that's well filmed, because so many of them were just black and white, grainy. Look for a good, solid performance.
Okay, I will. I mean, as for this poem was outstanding, a beautiful tribute to a man that everybody finds.
Absolutely.
I can't think of the word. Sorry.
Oh, no problem, no problem. That was a wonderful comment. Thank you. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he took the Marcel Marceau here, and the way he wrote about him. It's just so emotive, you know, like from the heart. It's straightforward, and you know, without any of the flah, right? Do we say that in English? Flah, you know, all the, you know what I mean?
The foo-foo, the fluff, the.
Yeah, the in French we say le fla-fla, but he took away all the fla-fla around it, and just put it up in a straightforward way, straightforward words, and you know from father he knows all that goes up comes down, and his mother household bills just go up and up and up, and you know, and he talks about the hearth, the heart, the home, and his predetermined path, and you know, there's puts the hope in this poem. I know he's talking about the celebrity here, but you know, he talks about also hope. putting hope into the next generation, that they have in their back pockets maybe a way to change the world, but just an amazing ride all the way through here by Incubus.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Great comment there. And up next, our last poem for the night, and the little bit we have left will be carried to another show. I don't know which one, but I will let people know when I know. Our last poem for the night is Borderlands by Liquid Mind Forever. And Laurent, would you give that a read for us, please?
I will. This is called Borderlands. Beauty and dreams stand at the gate. All blacks must wait as we hesitate. Too late to rebate our fate's hate. Embargoes to come, no debate. Our hearts must rise. Let's congregate. Let's find ways to help relegate. Not stand idly, commiserate, as nuclear dreams agitate. Pulchritude lies where peace abides. Shrug off, look the other way, hide. Our turn comes, who will take our side? Do nothing? That's certain suicide. Tides foment, the seas churn, turn red. What do? Turn on TV, go to bed. End poem.
Great read there, Laurent, and what a powerful write by Liquid Mind Forever. She was the silver winner in the contest, and it was really tough choosing between the two because they were both strong in their own way. And for me, it was powerful, it was emotive, and it was thought-provoking. And I like how she writes on the idea of those who ride the fence and sit by in idleness and arrogance as their fellow human beings suffer. Naomi, your thoughts on this poem?
Yeah, just such, so powerful. And, those last, this makes me think of the war in Ukraine that's going on, of course, right now, the whole poem. And, especially tides foment, the seas turn red. What do? Turn on TV and go to bed. It's like all that we're doing, all the nations, they're trying to do something. They're kind of stuck, they don't want to start a nuclear or third world war, but we feel like we're all, we're sympathetic, but what are we truly doing? We have to do something, but what can we do? It's heart-wrenching, and it's just such a powerful statement here that she brings out in throughout this poem. Just an excellent, stunning write here.
Absolutely. Well said there. And, Laurent, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a little bit shorter than many of the poems that she writes. I thought it was a challenge, an indictment laid at the feet of humanity to rise up or sit idly by. Thought it was powerful in the extreme.
Absolutely. And yes, for this particular contest, I did limit people to 50 to 200 words for their writing.
Nice.
And
nice.
Yes, she rose to that challenge quite nicely. Wonderful comment there, Laurent. And I have to say, this has just been an amazing show. I've really enjoyed hanging out with all of you. Thank you to Fill My Eyes and Naomi for always being great co-hosts every single week. Thank you to Laurent and Passions for calling in. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Jean, is there anything that you'd like to say?
Great show, ladies. That's what I'd like to say.
Thank you.
And thanks for calling in, Laurent, and thanks for calling in, Promise. I appreciate you both.
You're welcome.
Tomorrow night, Who shows tomorrow night, Pam?
Gray Eye Smith.
Yeah.
Right? Yep.
Gray Eye Smith. Tomorrow night, The Art of Seduction. Hope to talk to you all soon. Take care. Have a great night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Sweet dreams.